You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
Hey everybody, welcome to Nerd Overload. Nintendo Labo comes out this week, but we have a secret pro tip. You can start folding cardboard now. I'm Cody.
I'm Sam.
I'm Josh.
And I'm Samantha.
We have a great show for you this week. Thank you all for tuning in. We have a bunch of news to go over, but first let's talk about some things we've been checking out.
Nobody's going to stop you folding cardboard. You can do that whenever you want.
You can do it whenever you want.
I mean, papercraft is a pretty avid hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever gotten a paper cut from cardboard as the worst?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I work in retail. Yes.
It's terrible.
Yeah, they're
it's
bad.
Super bad.
I am team leader of an area literally called The Boxer.
Yeah.
There's dogs everywhere.
I wish. My job would be great.
Just a bunch of slobbery boxers running around.
That's how I die. I could die happy.
I'm picturing dogs with like boxing gloves on their
feet. Oh, yeah,
on
they've
their
got
feet,
those just, too.
And they're just sliding around because they can't grab
little tiny shorts.
Yeah. It's adorable.
Anyway, what we've been checking out, I feel like I'm obligated to talk about Yakuza since it comes out this week.
Yeah, you should probably talk about Yakuza.
I was gifted a download code by our friends at Atlas.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more or less the same as all the other ones, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
Because it's super good?
Yeah, yeah, it's super duper good.
Cool. Yakuza.
It's running on a new engine, so you can go in and out of like buildings and rooms without loading, which is really nice, considering that happened a lot in the other ones. And you can go, like, there's upstairs of buildings, so it gives it kind of a verticality it didn't have before.
Okay, cool.
So it's becoming more like real life.
Oh, yeah. Slowly, it'll just be a vacation to Japan that comes out on your PlayStation.
And you can beat people up.
Yeah, yeah. And you can beat people up in the street.
A punch vacation.
Yeah. Kazuma Kiryu's Punch Vacation.
Not to give anything away, but he ends up in a mascot costume.
I've seen that.
There may or may not be a fight in front of children.
Yeah, that's while you're great. In the costume.
Yeah, that's super good. I think I've seen gameplay of that, or people talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, they talk about that on the Polygon show a lot.
He's such a good character. Like, He's a cool guy. He just wants to help people.
And save his daughter?
Yeah, his adoptive daughter, former pop idol.
Yeah, that's it.
Apparently in Yakuza 6, which I've never played because my PlayStation 3 exploded, that you play as her for a chapter and like live through her idol training lifestyle.
Ah.
And there's like two different kinds of rhythm games you have to play.
Huh.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, also, sounds like it.
Also, you fight a bear in Yakuza 6.
Oh, nice. I'm in. I'm totally
not
in.
Not 6, 5.
Oh,
this one is 6.
Okay, well, still, bear fighting.
Yeah.
Like, totally in.
It's the same level of goofiness combined with melodramatic.
It's like the main story is super serious and sad, but all of the side quests are like crazy, weird.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, slice of life, weird.
But
like,
it's not. But
stuff.
It's not like Saints Row weird.
No, no. It's more like, I don't know, like a
Japan weird?
Yeah.
That's
Japan comedy weird.
Yeah. Now, which Yakuza game was the one where he had to teach a punk band how to be punks because they were too nice?
That was Yakuza 0.
Okay. Yeah.
Which is a great place to start the franchise, but honestly, you could also, any of the PlayStation 4 ones, you can
just
pretty much jump in.
Kind of jump into.
Because, yeah. I mean, 0 is the like beginning, it's the earliest timeline one. Koami is literally a remake of the first game that came out.
Gotcha.
And Yakuza 6 has like a really good recap at the beginning.
Oh, right on, right
so
on.
So any of them will work.
Almost like it was made to be an entry point for players.
Yeah, and also the last game in the series, supposedly.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting, but probably not. They'll milk that cow for all it's worth.
Yeah,
probably.
I haven't written a review for it yet. I probably will, but it's gonna sound a lot like all the other reviews I wrote for the other two games. Like, it's more of the same, but there's absolutely nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah,
because it's great.
Yeah,
and there's a baby.
Oh really?
You have to take care of a baby.
It's like a daddy sim.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
There's a point where
punch daddy.
You're in another town and you have the baby with you and he's hungry and he needs milk and you have to run around the town trying to find somewhere that's still open to buy milk for your baby.
Huh. Wow. That is certainly a way for that game to go.
Yeah. And like occasionally you'll have to stop and do a mini game to soothe the crying baby.
Oh jeez.
That involves like moving the controller in the right way with the motion sensors. And if you get in a fight while you're carrying the baby, Kiru will hand the baby to a passerby and be like, "Hold my baby for a minute," then get in the fight, you know, punch people till they're unconscious, and then take his baby back.
Oh wow.
I feel like that's how Batman would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Here, hold,
yeah.
Hold my baby. Yeah. I need to punch these men.
Samantha, you're laughing an awful lot as he's telling these stories. I feel like you enjoy watching him play them a lot.
Yes, I do.
It's a good series. Yeah. The fights are entertaining, too, because there's all kinds of like off-the-wall like special moves you can do with objects you find in the street.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, speaking of like punching things in Japan... Did you see where Shenmue 1 and 2 are coming back out?
They're getting a remaster.
They're not remasters. They're just straight ports.
Oh, they are?
They're upscale.
Oh, they're up-resed? Okay.
Not like, yeah, they didn't put
they're
a
not
whole
remastered.
Lot of work. Yeah, they didn't put a whole lot of work into it.
Gotcha. Okay.
But still, I'll buy that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I love that series so much.
I've never seen it.
It's not surprising because not a whole lot of people did.
I did. I played the poo out of those.
I played them, but I don't remember anything about them. Which is weird.
Your dad gets killed by a guy, and then you're looking for sailors in a tattoo shop.
All I remember is buying capsule machine toys and playing Super Hang On.
Yeah, I know about the sailor part because again Polygon Show, they did a video game like theater.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, where it's one guy. Just asking about where can I find sailors to all of the NPCs.
Yeah, there was an old Mega 64 skit where he walked around and asked real people about where the sailors were while dressed as the Ryu. Yeah,
yeah. Well, hey, transitioning from a really good thing featuring an older gentleman punching people to a very bad thing featuring an older gentleman punching things. I watched The Mummy.
Like the original or the...
I wish it was the original.
Oh no.
I wish it was the Brendan Fraser one.
No, it's but the no, Tom instead, Cruise Mummy.
I watched the Tom Cruise Mummy.
Oh man, someone finally shares my pain.
The first and last in the Universal Monster
Dark
Cinematic
Universe.
Yes.
Are they not going to do any more?
Oh yeah, they've confirmed it's
not
happening.
They've confirmed it's super done. Oh,
they were so ready for it too.
Yeah.
Like Dracula Untold was supposed to be the first one,
but then it bombed.
It bombed
so
bad.
It bombed so bad that it was written out of the continuity.
And so the Mummy was supposed to be the first one.
Yeah,
and then it was so bad.
Oh man, that movie was.
I know, right?
Here's the thing: not only was it bad, I am having a hard time remembering parts of it.
Oh, I remember it. It's like burned into my mind. You're, like watching a horrible train wreck.
Your mind is protecting yourself from the Mummy.
Like I know the scene where it's hard to explain. Like, well, the plot is super generic and like they made extra pains to like try to disassociate the character from Egypt as much as possible because Egypt doesn't play well in the Chinese market because they're going to make all their money.
Now we got to make our movies for Chinese, like, for the Chinese market.
Like the Mummy was from Egypt, but she was buried in Iraq, and the ancient scepter that she, or dagger that she needed to make Tom Cruise into the Egyptian god Set was in London.
because
of course.
Yeah.
They stole a plot device from American Werewolf in London. Have you seen that movie?
Yes, I have.
Okay, you know the friend that is murdered early on, and he keeps seeing visions of his murdered friend that seems to be like increasingly more and more like ghoulish and stuff.
Yeah,
that's in this movie wholesale.
Oh man, I
absolutely 100% wholesale.
Oh yeah, I know. I didn't even put the two together.
Mm-hmm.
I was just sitting there, I'm like, man, this movie is really bad.
Yeah.
Oh, Russell Crowe, why are you in this movie?
Russell Crowe was god-awful. Like, he was bad as Dr. Jekyll, but he was even worse as Mr. Hyde.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's...
They should put that on the box.
Also, why is Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde... Why did they decide that character should be the Nick Fury of the monster team?
It's not even...
Because he's both?
He's not even a universal monster character. He's not. He's a literary character.
Yeah, it's like... It would be like putting Dorian Gray. Actually, Dorian Gray would make more sense because at least in that sense, you'd be like, well, he's immortal. He's been around long enough that maybe he's been like coming up with a plan to stop Dracula.
Yeah.
But no, it's just Dr. Jekyll who's like, hey, I'm some British guy who's like in charge of a thing. And
I
well,
drank
Tom
a potion.
Cruise, you're going to have to die. And oh, no. Oh, no, the family curse. I've become Mr. Hyde.
Oh, I didn't take my injection.
I didn't get stabbed by a giant weird injection that I should just always have on me. Okay, this is a point that was brought up while I was watching the film. Dr. Jekyll knows that he needs that injection regularly, right?
Yep.
They make insulin pumps. Couldn't he just have, like, a steady stream of that stuff? Just like in him at all times. Like, there are ways to get around having to have like a 2-foot like syringe that he has to jab into his heart every 12 hours.
I also love the fact that he has a weird panic room in case he goes Hyde.
Oh, yeah.
That also the fact that when he becomes Mr. Hyde, his fingerprints completely change and the door won't recognize him.
Because why not?
He has to Pulp Fiction himself every 12 hours.
Basically. Yes. It's awful. It's awful. And like the movie ends with Tom Cruise, like he becomes evil god Set.
Sort of, but not.
Sort of, but because he did it to himself, he can control it.
Sure.
But you never see his face after that?
Yeah. And for some reason, he's wrapped up his hands like a mummy because he's become the mummy.
I am become the mummy.
Well, the rumors I read were, because he has all kinds of other powers too.
Yeah, he has all sorts of Egyptian powers.
Like, he's either the new mummy or he is Van Helsing Monster Hunter.
Yes, he's both.
Because those two things go together.
No, I'm
so
serious.
Well.
That was the rumor behind that. The whole weird end part of that movie.
You know, I never thought that there would be a movie that did monsters and literary characters worse than the League
don't,
of Extraordinary
don't.
Gentlemen. But
I like that.
But by God,
that's
they tried.
Bad,
they
that's
they
a bad movie.
It.
I like.
Yeah,
oh, I love that movie.
Yeah, I like that movie too. Actually,
it's so super cheesy and bad.
Yeah,
but I love
it's
it.
Still good.
Yeah. But no, The Mummy. Don't see The Mummy. It's a bad movie. Don't see it. Don't be like me.
Oh, yeah. And me, because I saw
yeah,
it all.
You
I saw it for all y'all.
Yeah, it's true.
Learn from their mistakes, folks.
Do not follow in our footsteps.
Yeah. Bad. Bad, bad.
Do as we say, not as we do.
I hope we still get the ScarJo creature from the Black Lagoon movie.
I don't think we will.
Yeah. Aww. I don't think we're going to.
Because The Invisible Man's already been canceled, too.
Well, here's the thing. I am okay with losing the Creature from the Black Lagoon movie if we also get to lose the Invisible Man movie, because I don't need Johnny Depp Jack Sparrowing it up as Invisible Man. No.
We don't need Johnny Depp doing anything anymore.
No, I think we as collectively have moved past Johnny Depp.
Studios don't know that though.
Well,
no,
yes,
no they're not right. aware yet, but the yeah. last good thing he did was that the Art of the Deal movie on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Where
yeah,
he played Trump. It's actually really funny.
Oh, it was? Yeah.
Yeah, it
was.
Yeah. It had an original song by Kenny Loggins.
Nice. Even better. All right. Well, hey, beyond that movie, the other couple things I checked out super quick, I started playing Detective Pikachu.
I've been playing that too.
Yeah, I am not super far into it, but I really like it so far. Man, Pikachu is like, he loves the ladies.
Oh, yeah.
He is super into like all human ladies.
Thirsty Chew.
He is pretty thirsty.
He's such a well-realized, like, mm-hmm. well-written character, though. I'm really surprised, like, a Nintendo game.
And it's so goofy to hear, like, super deep man voice saying, Pika. Pikachu. Pika.
All the voice acting is it's really good.
It's really well done. It's really well done. Again, I haven't gotten super far into it, so I don't have a full opinion of it, but I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I haven't actually played it. I've just watched Samantha play it. But
The tables have turned.
It gets a little repetitive. Yeah. But I like it a lot. It's really enjoyable, I think.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of times where you can figure out the mystery in 2 minutes.
Oh, you're wrong. That wasn't...
Really? I was wrong? Yeah. Okay, never mind.
You're a bad detective, and you should feel bad.
Hey, I thought...
That was a red herring.
A red herring. I profiled Mimikyu. That's what I did. I thought, well, he's bad, so it was
a red Magikarp?
Yeah, that would be more thematic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I went there. I went there, guys. The last thing I did, and
Magikarp
this is...
are red.
They are. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Except for the shiny ones.
The shiny ones, yeah. The last thing I did, this is completely 100% self-serving and really can't be experienced by anyone else, unfortunately.
Because it's done if it's what I think it is.
Yeah. yeah, it's done. I was in a play for the second time in my adult life, and that was really cool. It's kind of the reason why I haven't had a lot of time to do check it outs, and actually kind of one of the reasons why we've kind of had a couple of bye weeks here recently on the show. We did The Crucible up in Bucyrus, and it was a lot of fun. I'm glad I got a chance to do it. Everyone did an excellent job. People seemed to really enjoy the show all 3 nights.
I wish we could have came.
Boy, yeah. There was a lot of dialogue. Oh boy, it was a lot of dialogue to remember. And I mean, my part was pretty minuscule comparative to everyone else, and it was still a lot of dialogue. I was kind of sweating it all the way up till the very end, honestly. And like that Thursday before the first performance was the first time I could get through my page and a half of dialogue without like just totally freezing up. but it was a lot of fun. Again, I can't say enough good things about everyone that was in it. Everyone seemed to enjoy it. Can't wait for the next one, although I might take the next one or two off just because it was a lot, and the next couple are going to be a lot. The next one they're doing is a Sweeney Todd, I think.
Oh, nice.
Which is super
cool. I love Sweeney Todd.
Which is super cool and great, but I just don't think I have the time to...
You need a break.
Put into it. Yeah, yeah, I could use a break.
I thought it was weird that they added that subplot where Cotton Mather falls in love with the moon.
Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of a weird one. Yeah. Yes, yes, that is a joke specifically just for us.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, I don't think anyone else would
get that.
Sorry,
I don't even get it.
Yeah,
that was the subplot they added. Though they didn't add it. That's a subplot in the Addams Family musical,
which was the other musical I did.
Yeah,
was that Fester fell in love with the moon?
Oh,
yeah, but
it was some of the best special effects in the play.
Yeah.
But, like, narratively, it was like, oh.
Yeah, well, they had to give Fester something to do.
Yeah.
But, But no, that's what I've been doing. I don't have anything else because I literally have not had the time to do anything else.
I was surprised I could remember the name of somebody from The Crucible.
Wait, what character did you say?
Cotton Mather?
Nope, that's not from The Crucible.
That's nope. Just from the actual witch trials.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Wow.
Is Goody Proctor one of them?
Goody Proctor
okay, there
was
we
one
go.
Of them. Yep, the Proctors and Hale, Paris, Abigail Williams. She was the one that was, she was the Winona Ryder part that was pointing people out. Yep.
Winona Ryder is nude in that film.
Good to know.
Just if you wanted to know that.
Way to go, Mr. Skin.
Yeah. I only remember that because we watched it in high school, and it was like a big deal. Like, oh my god, nudity!
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. I forget. Was that Redman or Bishop Long that we watched that?
I think Redman.
The Redman. Yeah, that's what I thought. Again, more conversation that no one else who is listening to this is going to.
We didn't
get
even have to
all.
Get a permission slip signed.
Right. Yeah. All right. Someone else go. Because we're just going to keep talking about, like, in-jokes and in-stories, and that's not good for radio. Yes, Josh.
Sup.
Sup.
Let's see here. What have I been doing other than being a dirty, dirty bilge rat? I've been watching.
Oh yeah, because
Sea of Thieves.
Yes,
yes. I just thought like you're meant in life.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's that too.
I was like, don't be so hard on yourself.
Yeah, come
man.
On, man.
It's okay. It's okay.
Oh no, I'm a scallywag. I know this. I've come to terms with those with that. Let's see. Other than taking off an entire Sea of Thieves server. Mm-hmm.
No, I saw the Facebook post.
That was a good day.
Yeah, sounds like it.
I wish we would have sailed off the map with that key, just to spite everyone. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I picked up the first three seasons of Black Sails on DVD for $25.
Nice.
What is that about? I mean, I know it's pirates.
Pirates.
But
Black Sails is kind of weird. Like, some of it's based in history, some of it is not.
Okay.
It's kind of like if Game of Thrones and history's Vikings had a baby and
on
that
the
baby
water.
And that baby became a pirate.
Nice.
It was on I don't know if it's still on, cuz I know the fourth season just came out on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
What are Vikings but pirates with different hats?
I dare say they are the original pirates.
Yeah.
Yeah, true. You dare say?
I dare say.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Actually, they didn't wear those horned helmets either.
No, they did not. That is not historically accurate.
No.
If anything, the Gauls did.
Mm.
The French, the precursors to the French Parisians.
Yep.
They were like French Vikings.
Yep. That's also where the Normans come from.
The comic strip Asterix and Obelix is about the Gauls.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Anyway. Black Sails. It's on Stars. So, you know, you get all the fun stuff like, you know, nudity and horrible violence.
Mm, fun. Fun for the whole family.
Oh, yes. First episode, you get to watch a guy get his head beaten in with a cannonball.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Captain Flint, one of the main characters, picks it up and beats this dude to death with it. Oh, man.
Lovely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was so lovely. Basically, what's going on is it's kind of later in the days of the Golden Age of Piracy, in the Age of Sail,
mm-hmm.
and it's all kind of centered around New Providence Island in Nassau.
Okay.
And
the Bahamas.
Yep. And it's basically, you have this port town of New Providence Island where a guy who supposedly has the backing of the British, you know, upper class... He's kind of like the governor, but he's like a big trading company, but he gets all his trade goods to sell to other ports from illicit pirate gains. And it's basically kind of like a little pirate town. And I'm 6 episodes in to the first season.
Hmm.
That's like all the further I ever got in Game of Thrones.
Didn't even get that far. I'll be honest, Game of Thrones is proof positive that... not every show is for me, even if it has dragons in it.
Well, to be fair, it doesn't have dragons in it till a long time in, but apparently.
But still, the promise of dragons is usually enough. But like, I'm like, nah. But I'm blowing up your.
No,
spot.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's a very valid statement.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, and basically, you follow mostly Captain Flint and his crew. On his ship, the Walrus.
That's a good name.
Yeah.
That's a good pirate ship name.
And basically, he heard about this Spanish treasure ship.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly one of the biggest treasure galleons in the Atlantic or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting ready to go back to Spain with a load of New World treasure.
Gold.
Pretty much. Pretty much. And, yep.
All right, yeah.
Cody Pinnick, the pirate who shagged me.
Gotta make that Austin Powers reference.
Yeah. Gotta love that Austin Powers humor. Yeah. Yeah, baby, yeah.
Do I? Anyway.
Woo woo woo. There's the song for the week.
Yeah, that's it.
Anyway.
And
it's just a lot of like stuff going on. Like Flint's crew, a lot of them don't like him because he's been kind of leading them on this wild goose chase for months.
Is it because he lost his mojo? Yeah, baby, yeah. The look of defeat on Josh's face right now.
Those machine gun jubblies.
I could. The frustration is palpable, folks.
No, it's not that. I'm. Truth be told, I am really tired.
Yeah, we all are. It's okay.
I mean, I like the show. It definitely has some Game of Thrones-esque vibes to it because like you get like all this weird political stuff, like between like the governments of particular ships. And then how other crews interact with other crews and things like that.
Game of boats.
Yeah, game of boats. It's game of boats.
It sounds like a bad like mobile game that like Kate Upton was like would be like
the in the commercials for.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a Pirates of the Caribbean mobile game out, and it looks awful.
Well,
sail away, my lord. That's what the banner ad would say.
For adults only.
For adults only. Your girlfriend will hate this game.
God, I swear. Those
are the worst.
Yeah. Those Facebook mobile game ads are terrible.
Oh,
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've played some okay games from those, but
this game will make you delete all other games.
Can you achieve the high score? Oh no, the ones I hate right now are the two where they have like two screens next to each other. It goes your mom and your dad.
It's like, what does that mean?
I know,
right?
Really makes you think.
Yeah. I hate the ones that like are on the top of the free charts. And it looks like something that they threw together in Unity in 2 hours.
Yeah.
Like it's a bunch of untextured like shapes bouncing around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The ads for the tower defense game with the weird Final Fantasy 15 skin, and I say that lightly because it just has the name Final Fantasy 15.
I can't believe Square did that.
Oh, that's awful.
That is an insult to the entire franchise. Mm-hmm.
It's terrible.
And then they have the ads that have Luna Freya, an actual character in the game, being played by some Kate Upton-y model.
Yeah. Oh, they're bad. Because I still play Words with Friends every once in a while. And between every play, you have to watch an ad. They force you to watch an ad after every word you play. And more times than not, for me, it's Final Fantasy Battle
whatever it's called. Yeah.
Whatever dumb thing.
Yeah.
they hired out one of those garbage companies that make those stinky mobile games that feel like they're running in a browser.
Yeah, it's rotten. I mean, the game has artifacting on it. Like, the assets in the game has artifacting on it. Get it together.
Your game design is bad, and you should feel bad.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, I played the new Overwatch event mode.
Cool. Can you sum it up in like three sentences?
Yeah, that's
because
about,
we're like right
on
time.
That's about all I got.
Yeah.
It was really fun.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You play, it's like a flashback thing, right?
Yeah, where you play as members of Blackwatch and you fight a bunch of robots.
Oh, I thought you were fighting Talon or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're robots, but it's Talon robots.
Okay.
In PvE.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's really fun.
Cool.
Like, I prefer fighting the computer to actual players because I'm not that great. But it was fun, you know, popping off headshots as McCree.
Nice.
It's something I'll never do in a real game.
Yeah.
I'm garbage with McCree.
The Black Ops cowboy man.
Yeah. I really liked the one event they had where it was part of like the Omnic invasion or whatever flashback.
Yeah, the archives one.
And you played as like, you know, Torbjorn and all them. And
young Tracer.
Mm-hmm. It's like Tracer's first mission or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I never played that one, but this one, it's probably about the same.
Oh, yeah. It sounds very similar.
Hmm. It has opening cutscenes and closing cutscenes that are really
well.
So did
the other one.
Too.
Really? Yeah, interesting.
Makes you want them to make a single player Overwatch game. That
or
be fun.
Just, you know, hey Blizzard, you make really great cinematics. Just make an Overwatch movie.
Yeah, they can do that too.
YouTube series or something like that.
Yeah. I'd watch it.
All right. Well, hey, listen, we got to take a break here and play a little music. But when we get back, we're going to get into a bunch of news. So stick around if you would.
Woo 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 woo.
Hey, that was Soul Bossa Nova by Quincy Jones, or as you may more likely know it, the Austin Powers theme song.
That song is it's a legitimate song that is now forever ruined because of Austin Powers.
Ruined or heightened.
Or improved yes. dramatically.
Yeah.
Because you'll ever forever associate it with Mike Myers dancing around in Union Jack underpants.
That's a sight that has been burned into my retinas.
His hairy, hairy body.
I don't know, man. That one character, his fat suit.
Oh,
the one character?
Yeah.
The one that we can't say on radio?
Yeah.
Thanks.
The fat...
The guy.
Man stirred.
Fat, illegitimate son.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, hey, let's get off of Austin Powers talk and talk about a little bit of news. And,
why? Does it make you horny?
Do I make you Randy? Do I?
Hey, guys, how's your Austin? Let's hear it.
No. No, it's bad. It's not going to be good. I refuse. Yeah, baby, yeah. There you go. That's my Austin. It was bad.
Smashing Basil. Yeah, baby.
That wasn't terrible.
Josh, let's hear your Austin.
Most of the lines I used, I can't say on the radio.
Yeah, it's a little rough.
It's not my bag, baby, I swear. Shagadelic. Yeah.
That was not Samantha, bad either.
No.
It's your turn.
No.
Come on, peer pressure. We all did it.
Nope.
How's your Austin?
Very bad.
Well, let's hear it.
Nope.
Let's be the judge of that.
Nope.
Aww.
Just say yeah, baby, into the microphone.
No.
No. But do it in a really deep voice.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, baby, yeah.
Actually, that goes back to Austin Powers.
That's the joke. Yeah. Yeah. He's giving the massage. Could you go a little deeper?
Or no, can you go lower?
Can you go lower?
How does that feel, baby?
How does that feel, baby?
Anyway.
Are we just going to talk about Austin Powers for the next half hour?
Let's cut the majority of this and move on to the news.
All right, so yeah, where on the news list do we want to start? Pick a topic. We have many. You know what? This is probably the one we can get the most talk out of because it's the most recent. So who wants to talk about Billy Mitchell? Who wants to explain who Billy Mitchell is?
He's an absolute villain.
And hot sauceman.
Yes, he does have his own hot sauce. But more importantly, Billy Mitchell, he was a record holder for Donkey Kong.
A whole bunch of stuff.
The King of Kong.
He had that documentary that was partially about him that, like, he claims the documentary made him look like a villain, but that's because he kind of is.
Yeah, I think he made him look like a villain.
This guy was... Billy Mitchell held a bunch of records for a bunch of different arcade machines.
Most notably being Donkey Kong.
Most notably, yeah. And he's also notorious for having a humongous ego and like just being an all around just kind of real
tool.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly. but he recently had all of his records revoked. Because
it
turns
Christmas.
Out, yeah, it's, you know, yeah. But no, it's, it turns out he, he was using an emulator to do it or something. He
allegedly,
wasn't playing.
Allegedly.
Several experts have viewed the tape and confirmed that it was most likely emulated.
And for folks who don't know, the records in question have to be made on original hardware. Or perfect replicated hardware. Emulators are basically PC ports of the original software that can be tampered with or
paused
or frame rates on specific machines and specific boards can't be replicated through emulation.
Yeah, the way it draws the screen is just slightly different enough.
Right, and it's just enough that people who are super, super like, obsessive about this kind of stuff are like
when you're
it's
setting
not the same.
World when you're setting world records I mean you kind of have to be
mm-hmm.
And if you know if you're good you should be able to do these things in their intended environment, which is in a room full of arcade machines around other people.
Like, exactly, yeah,
that's how you did it back in the day.
Mm-hmm. yep and Yeah, I mean, it'd be one thing if the guy was a nice guy that's getting these things revoked, but he is by and large just kind of a big old jerkwad. Well, okay, that movie Pixels that they did, the terrible one with Adam Sandler from a few years ago. Do you remember Pixels?
Yeah.
Peter Dinklage was basically the Billy Mitchell of that. And the major revelation of that movie was that he cheated back in the day to get the high scores and beat out young Adam Sandler in the arcades. Also, wasn't there an episode of the regular show?
He tried to sue them.
Yeah,
the
right,
judge
that's right.
Threw it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's that big cartoon head that like sort of looks like him.
Sort of.
And the twist
okay,
of that
did look like him.
And that twist of that episode was the big giant head that explodes at the end cheated at video games.
What was his name? It was like Bobby
Mitchum?
I can't remember.
Whatever.
I remember seeing the episode, though.
Yeah.
It's like Bobby Garrett Ferguson or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah, no, the guy's getting all of his records rolled back. And it would be one thing if he was still the top record holder on a lot of these, but the majority of his records have been broken like years and years ago.
Yeah.
Like he's been lapped so many times on a lot of this stuff.
What was that one? Like he's the first to get...
A million points. He was the first to get a million points in Donkey Kong, but not anymore.
Wiped. Yeah.
Now,
so this is all from Twin Galaxies scorekeeping, not like Guinness.
Well, right. Guinness takes the scores from Twin Galaxies.
But it's been wiped from them. They're, you know, they sent it to Guinness, and I don't think they've said what they're going to do.
I hope they take it away from them.
Yeah.
And it seems like that he refused to give them proof, or they didn't ask for proof from him.
Right.
More likely he refused, but
yeah.
The other problem that this arises, not only that it was on emulation, but I guess he had the same one guy look at all and verify all of the top scores that he had submitted, which I guess is kind of a problem because that one guy has been called into question as to whether he knew that it was being played on emulation, and if the guy had either been paid off or was just in cahoots with Mitchell in order to fabricate these high scores. There's a lot of questions about this very, very, like, unimportant thing.
No, it's very serious Donkey Kong points.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, good point. All I know is I can't get past level 3.
It has been so long since I played classic Donkey Kong.
Which one is level 3? The one where you got to jump over the gaps?
Yeah, that's the one. For some reason, I can't. That's just too slidey. But then again, I play it down at 16-bit, so like margin of error.
For booze.
Yeah.
And really beat up joysticks.
And incredibly, that's even more important, that the joysticks, those machines are just beat to hell.
Really? They used to be so good at taking care of them. Are they going down?
The last time I was there, I tried playing they had a Street Fighter 4 cabinet, and the player one didn't have a back button.
Oh,
or
wow.
The stick didn't go backwards.
So you couldn't block.
You couldn't block. You can only move forward, and if you moved forward too far,
you can't.
You're
go
done.
Back.
You're done, and if you get into that one corner, you're pretty much just stuck.
You have to ask nicely to have the other player push you back.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Maybe I just went on a bad day. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe the maintenance guy hadn't been through in a while.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on and talk about some other stuff. So this one just came out like this week. There's not much to it, but we can talk about it for a sec. I guess Steven Spielberg is going to be producing a DC Comics film based around the 1930s World War II characters, the Blackhawks. They're not a superhero. They're a team. They're not superheroes per se. They don't have powers. They're just a bunch of pilots.
Yep.
During World War II. It's cool.
Yeah.
They show up in an episode of Justice League Unlimited.
Yeah, they do.
When
I don't remember that.
It was like in the very beginning when Vandal Savage takes over.
They go back in time.
He goes doing the World War II thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they end up getting some help from the Blackhawks.
Right.
I thought I'd seen every episode of that, but maybe I haven't.
You probably have, just didn't notice the characters.
Oh. Yeah, they're kind of nondescript.
Like
I can't
like,
tell you much about the characters outside of their pilots.
They wear, like, blue jackets.
With the black bird logo.
Yeah, and a blue hat.
And they fly a plane.
Yeah, they fly planes.
Yeah. So it's not going to be like crazy superhero stuff, but it'll be interesting. It'll be an interesting period piece. And if they play it right, they could do it something similar to like The Rocketeer. I can kind of see them just enough heightened like reality to where it's kind of fun, but still,
just thinking they should do another Rocketeer.
That would be good. I'd be into it.
I mean, they recently did do another Rocketeer comic.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. They did.
The female Rocketeer.
Man, Timothy Dalton was great in The Rocketeer as the Errol Flynn-esque villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, later years, Timothy Dalton, I like a lot of the stuff he does.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Hot Fuzz.
Yeah, I was just getting ready to say Hot Fuzz is, like, great.
Yeah.
It's the best movie.
Oh, it's the best movie in that trilogy. It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's the best movie.
I quote that movie constantly. 9 times out of 10, no one knows what I'm talking about, but I mean, I love that movie.
It's good. It's a good one.
Yarp.
Yarp.
Narp.
Okay, next up. Will someone tell me about Hogwarts Mystery? What is that?
A mystery?
It's a mystery in Hogwarts.
That's the
Harry Potter mobile game.
Okay.
That's coming out soon.
Yeah, we talked about this once, didn't we?
Like end of the month.
It's the one where you become a student at Hogwarts.
During like the 90s.
Like, yeah, well like pre-Harry Potter.
Pre-Potter.
So I guess the 80s. Early 90s. Late 80s. Yeah.
So basically all the characters are there.
Yeah. And a lot of them are going to be voiced by the people that play them in the movie.
Oh, that's cool.
That's why we wrote this on here.
Oh, okay. Right on. All right. Yeah. Pulling back the curtain, a lot of these news articles were actually from last week that we, you know, weren't able to get to. But yeah. No, that's interesting. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Add kind of an authentic flair to your personal Hogwarts experience.
Yeah.
Your personal pan-Hogwarts.
Now, I'm still going to play the game, the actors from the movies voice their characters in the game doesn't do much for me because I keep my phone on silent mode.
Yeah.
So I'm probably never going to hear any of those voices, but it's cool that they're popping up. In there.
And I don't really care for the movies.
Really?
Really? Any? No.
Oh.
I've seen like the first couple and I'm just like, meh.
The later ones get really good.
Oh, maybe I should have stuck with it.
The later ones get very good.
I grew up on the books. I read them all.
I read the books up until the first couple chapters of the fifth book.
Is that the one where he gets all angsty?
That's the one where he is just nothing but whiny angst
for the first third of
that book. And I got so tired of reading it that I put it down and I couldn't go back to the series.
It is so bad.
Yeah, it's only in that one book. She really dials it back, and it's
kind of only in the beginning of the book.
You know, I've heard that from about a million different people, but I just it's just burnt me. And then the movies are good. I like the movies, but I would definitely recommend going back to the movies. They're not perfect, but
I was just really miffed that Nearly Headless Nick's Death Day Party wasn't in the second movie.
Oh, I know, yeah, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was like my favorite part of that book.
Yeah. It's a waste of John Cleese.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Yep.
I was sorry.
Go ahead. No, go.
I know. It was kind of bummy out that Richard Harris passed away and couldn't continue being Dumbledore.
Yeah.
I think of all the actors who played Dumbledore, he was my favorite.
Of the two?
Yeah,
I guess technically it's going to be three.
No, there were three.
Jude Law is going to be the third one. He's going to be Yungledore.
Yungledore. The other one's Michael Gambon.
Yeah, it's Michael Gambon.
Yeah, he's going to voice Dumbledore in the game.
Okay. Oh, he is. Okay.
I just had a really sad thought.
What's that?
Snape.
Oh yeah, he's. Oh man.
Yeah, who are they going to play as? Alan Rickman.
You just passed your audition.
I passed my audition, my Rickman audition.
Alan
Rickman.
Remember to tell the turtle joke at the party tonight.
By Grapthor's hammer.
You shall be avenged.
What a savings.
God's Galaxy Quest is a great movie.
The greatest Star Trek movie ever made.
Yes, it is.
I need to watch that movie again because I saw it when I was a kid and I was like, This is okay.
No,
I watched it on TV the other day.
Cody, dude, you would like, it's going to be one of your favorite films.
We should probably do a No, I Haven't Seen
We
That
probably
on it.
Should.
You
mean that podcast we haven't done in like a year and a half?
The yearly podcast.
The once a year podcast where we watch, where we all sit down and watch a movie that you haven't seen in a while. Yeah, yeah. Okay, pick another news topic. We have a little bit of time.
Hey, Black Ops 4, which is numerated by 4 lines.
Yes.
Not the Roman numeral 4.
That's weird.
I don't know why they chose that, but that's how they did it.
Mm.
It's not going to have a single player mode, which is kind of weird, but also not entirely surprising.
I mean, to be fair, when the first Black Ops came out, I never played the single player mode at all. I just went online and shot 12-year-olds.
That's a fun thing to say on the radio.
In a video game.
Thank you for qualifying it. I never played any of the Black Ops games, so this means nothing to me.
The Call of Duties?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not a Call of Duty guy, but still, like, this is a huge franchise that sells bajillions of copies to your average Joe Blow dude.
But right now, the average Joe Blow dude is looking for games that don't have story modes. Your Overwatches, your PUBGs, and your Fortnites. This is just them going, well, you know what? People aren't as picky anymore. They don't absolutely need. Why should we put all the time and money and effort into building a single player mode when the player base currently doesn't care about that?
I still think you're going to get a lot of people who aren't paying attention, who buy the game every year just to play through, you know, whatever 6-hour experience they get, and then, you know, that's it.
I think the company's taking a calculated risk on this because you're going to get, you'll get some returns. That's without a doubt. But a lot of those people will say, well, you know, it doesn't have a single player mode, but all my friends have it and I'm going to play a little bit of the multiplayer, and then it'll go on the shelf and they'll forget about it. And then, you know,
they're also saying that they might do a battle royale mode, but I think that might is a, we're going to do a battle royale mode because they'd be nuts
like,
not to.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Gamers currently, you don't even have to finish the game and they'll buy it.
Oh yeah, gamers are dumb.
A lot of the really popular games right now,
early
are
access.
All early access titles. PUBG, Fortnite, all early access.
Actually, PUBG's not in early access anymore.
Oh, I thought it was. I thought it was still.
No, it came out.
Well, it's still buggy garbage.
Yeah,
anyway.
It still sucks, but. Yeah.
I mean, heck, Fortnite is not even the original game it was originally intended to be. Like, you can play that mode if you want, but that's not the mode everyone's playing.
Wasn't Sea of Thieves almost like a glorified beta?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, I played the beta, and I play the retail version of the game.
And they're
virtually the same. There's a little more content, but it's virtually the same.
You know, it's weird that the line between having a game that is in constant beta and is constantly being developed because it's not a fully fleshed out game, and having a game that is considered evergreen, where it's a fully done game that is constantly getting content updates, that line is blurring way more than I like it to.
Well, there's that new Battle Royale game, Radical Heights, I think.
Never heard of it.
It's like 80s themed.
That sounds awesome, though.
Yeah. Like, if you win, it plays You're the Best Around.
Oh, that's okay. All right. I might be into that.
But you can get that early access, and there's not even you can't play as a female yet.
Oh, really?
Like, on the character select screen, there's just a coming soon over the female symbol.
So hard to make, guys.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So that's how early that game is, and you could go buy it if you want. Or it might be free, I don't know.
Here's the thing with all this is, you know, versus like the PUBGs and other games and like, you know, examples. PUBG is like $30 to get. Okay. For the content that's available in the game, I'm like, that's okay. $60 for Sea of Thieves? That hurts.
Yeah.
That's a slap in the face.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
That's why you get the Microsoft Game Pass that's $10 a month.
When Star Wars Battlefront came out.
Oh, God.
That was $60.
That was $60 for not a lot of content. Don't get me wrong. I played it a lot.
And how much was Battlefront 2 that had all of its product, like, locked behind lock boxes and loot crates?
$60 or $70.
Yeah. Nobody. Actually, it still sold really well, too, which shame on That's you, people that bought that
it's
game.
It's your fault.
Yeah.
Stop buying it.
But, to be fair, that game is almost completely changed from its original model. Like, completely. Like, they removed the microtransaction stuff. Like,
yeah, they had to because there were European countries that were deeming it as
gambling
and banning the game.
Yep.
They had to do something.
Well, that and, you know, the huge amount of wildfire that spread across the internet.
Oh, they don't care about that.
The most downvoted Reddit thread of all time.
Was the AMA.
Yeah, and you know what? Who cares about Reddit? It's because Europe, they were going to lose the European market. That's the...
Which is...
Game companies don't care about their player
and
base.
The fact that DICE is in Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, so we have time for a couple more quick hits if we want to try to get to them.
Animal Crossing added loot boxes.
Yeah.
Pocket Camp.
Yeah, they did.
That has loot boxes now.
Ooh, yeah, and I kind of hate
it. Bad job, Nintendo.
Yeah, I don't like it.
At least for...
I stopped playing that
thing. Yeah, that game was already questionable enough.
I played it way longer than I probably should have, but I think I'm about done with it.
At least Overwatch's loot boxes are just vanity stuff.
Yeah.
Sure, you can play that game completely after buying making the initial purchase without, anything.
I want Pajama Mace so bad. I saw that today. I'm like, oh, man, I need that skin right now.
I wish I would have got Police Diva.
Yeah, me too.
That was a cool one.
Yeah.
And Cruiser Diva is really cool.
I was kind of on her. I'm of those skins. I'm more like Beva.
Yeah.
with her bee mech.
Yeah, she looks like a little bee.
Oh, nice. Nice. Okay, so hey, let's talk about some more stuff. So Entertainment Weekly ran an article a few weeks ago about
It was more like a photo shoot.
It was a photo shoot, but no, they did. There was a short article along with it about how Bill and Ted is still being shopped around as a thing. And it kind of got everyone's hopes up that there's going to be a Bill and Ted 3.
Yeah, because they had these pictures. People immediately thought, well, this is promotional pictures for the...
It may as well have been.
Yeah.
Like, it was great. They had Alex Winter and they had Keanu Reeves back. They were inside the booth. It looked good. Like, they've all said that there's a script that all the principal actors are back in. From what I understand, the story is going to involve middle-aged Bill and Ted going back in time to the events of the first movie and suddenly helping out their much younger selves. And they're going to splice in shots of, superimpose them into shots of the first movie.
I mean, that could work. I've seen it work before.
Yeah, it's a really good idea.
Yeah, George Carlin's daughter has...
She's been real close to the project
for a long
time.
She's been incredibly close to the project and has said that I've heard two different reports. One has said that they want her to come in and basically do George Carlin's role as, the next generation of, helper. And also she has signed off on them using the likeness rights of
George Carlin
so that they can use scenes of him from the original.
I always thought film. George Carlin is just an American Doctor Who in that movie.
You know what?
Kind
of. It really is like American Doctor Who. I'm not 100% convinced that the original writers didn't see old episodes of Doctor Who and go, we could probably do something like that.
Yeah.
Time-traveling phone booth?
Mm-hmm.
I would have totally watched a Doctor Who, American Doctor Who with George Carlin as the Doctor.
That would have been great.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
Better than the American Doctor Who we got.
With Eric Roberts, wasn't it?
Eric Roberts was the Master.
Oh.
That's not the one I'm talking about.
Okay.
I am talking about the movie called Doctor Who and the Daleks.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
With,
That's Peter Cushing, wasn't
it? Yes, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. That movie... That movie's so bad.
There's the riff tracks of that movie, probably for good reason.
Yeah.
The movie makes no sense.
Yeah. But anyway, the Bill and Ted, I hope it happens.
Yeah, I don't understand why they're not doing it right now.
The nostalgia's at its peak. They need to do. They need to hop on it. I mean, if Keanu Reeves can get enough of a break from being John Wick, like I really think, as an actor, he needs a movie with a little bit of levity because he's.
Yeah, he hasn't done a funny movie in a while.
Yeah,
in a really long time.
And he's such a good dude. Come on,
he is. He is. And Alex Winter, he's really done wonders like behind the camera. He's he films documentaries now. He had a huge documentary on Pirate Bay a few years ago and about the proliferation of torrenting.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's actually really active on Twitter as well. But like everyone's involved, everyone wants to be in it. I don't see why they don't hop on this.
Do a Kickstarter.
Yeah, you know what? At this point, they would make an obscene amount of money on Kickstarter or GoFundMe.
I'd give them money.
Oh, I would too. Oh, yeah. They could fund 5 or 6 Bill and Ted's movies if they did a Kickstarter.
I'm not sure I'd want 5 or 6 Bill and Ted movies.
Well, I wouldn't either, but they could do one really, really, really good one.
Yeah. Just be excellent to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't that part of the plot, too, is, like, why didn't Wild Stallions take off?
That's the whole thing, yeah. Yeah, in the original Bill and Ted's, by the mid-2000s, they were supposed to, like, have saved the world. Like, their music was supposed to have changed the world and brought world peace. And here we are in the actual, you know, 2018, and it hasn't happened. So they're going back in time to figure out what's wrong. And they run across their younger selves and help their younger selves out. That was the plot.
There's that super crazy late 80s, early 90s techno future.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
God, I really want to watch it now.
Bogus Journey is really good, too.
Yeah, I really need to see Bogus Journey.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah, it's super weird.
It's definitely a departure from the original.
I've always kind of appreciated a sequel that's not afraid to get weird.
Oh, yeah, then you.
It's almost like it's almost like Dante's Inferno,
it
with
really
a little
is.
Bit of time travel.
It really is because they go. I mean, they go to hell. They go to hell and they go to heaven.
Yep.
And there's not really time travel. It's like dimension travel almost. Mm-hmm.
Oh man, that one version of hell was just weird.
Yeah, yeah.
With all the doors and stuff. Mm-hmm.
You know, a sequel that got really weird was Austin Powers 3.
A real departure from the first two.
Yeah. And I really liked how just bonkers it got.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Because I hated the second one. To be honest. I'm like, this is the same thing.
You're doing the same thing again.
Like, at least 3 was different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now let's stop talking about Austin Powers forever.
Never. We'll never talk about... we'll never stop talking about
Austin Powers. Dr. Evil, I knew you were crazy, but I could see your nuts.
It was... Pretty recently had like an anniversary, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, yeah, it actually. Did. They talked about it on NPR for like an hour.
It's like, oh.
It was a big deal, though.
It
like,
was.
In the
that
late
was
90s.
A huge.
Like, it was a phenomena.
Yeah.
I remember when Austin Powers 2 went to England, they couldn't call it The Spy Who Shagged Me because shagged is a
yeah, it has a little bit of a stronger implication in
your yeah, it's a swear yeah, it's a swear word.
Yeah.
So they just called it Austin Powers 2.
Right. So okay, has Austin Powers is it old enough to have hit nostalgia to where
could
be brought back as like they could do an Austin Powers 4 as and cash in on nostalgia?
Yeah.
I think so.
Oh, it'd be awful.
We're all kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be awful.
Well,
I don't see it.
Yes.
It depends.
Son of Austin Powers. Austin Powers 4, Son of Austin Powers.
It's Channing Tatum.
Yeah, Channing Tatum is the son of Austin Powers.
Oh, man.
No, he's not British, though.
Well, neither is Mike Myers.
That's true. Oh, yeah. This is true. Well, the thing is, I can't see...
I'm pretty
see...
sure Mike Myers is Canadian.
Yeah, he is.
His mom's British, though.
I can't see... Channing Tatum doing the accent like
at all
that
at
all why it would be funny.
Yeah. Oh man, who would be a really good like son of Austin Powers?
I don't think we have any really good character actors out there right now.
We need somebody like in their 20s, late 20s?
Someone in their late 20s, sure, yeah.
Zac Efron.
Actually, actually, you know what? He's actually really funny. Did you guys see The Disaster Artist?
Yes,
yeah. Yeah. That surprised me.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, we watched that a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Actually, that
it's really good, right?
Out. Yeah. It was good. I mean, I didn't love it.
Sure.
Cuz like a lot of the comedy comes from things that I had already noticed from watching The Room.
Right.
But it was still a good,
really enjoyable
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As much as I love the movie, I think the real highlight was the end credit sequence where they had like the side by side shots where they meticulously like reshot about 20 minutes of The Room.
Yeah.
With the other actors. Hey, listen, we are actually over on time. So let's go ahead and wrap things up. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
Your number one Austin Powers fan site.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
Actually, I have a new review up there of a 3DS game called The Alliance Alive. You should check it out.
Yeah, you should. You should. It's very good.
You can find us on most forms of social media, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, Instagram at Nerd Overload Now.
Shagadelic.
You can email us to make us stop talking about Austin Powers.
Never!
Or tell us to talk about it more.
Yeah, tell us staff at nerdoverload.com.
We don't know what you want. I say a thing here. It's that you should subscribe to our YouTube channel, Nerd Overload TV.
Yep, that's right. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, just about anywhere you can find podcasts, you can find this podcast. And again, thank you all for tuning in, and we will be back next week.
Shagadelic.
Peace out.
Boop, 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 boop.